Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. Listen to the word of the Lord as it's recorded in the 32nd chapter of Genesis, beginning with verse 22. The same night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to Jacob, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. And you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And then he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon Jacob, and as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. This is the word of the Lord. Have you ever wrestled with God? Have you ever duked it out with God? Have you ever said, "Not me, God," or "Why me?" Or "Why not me?" Or "Where are you, God?" Have you ever struggled with God? Most people of faith can talk about a time or a season when they have. And some people of faith can tell you that they kind of routinely spar with God. They kind of routinely argue and question. That's part of their faith journey. It's part of how their faith gets deeper, how the parts of their faith peel away to deeper and deeper parts. It comes through struggle, and they're not ashamed to admit that it comes through struggle. Most of us have struggled with the faith. We have struggled with the institutional church. We've struggled with how to bear the cross of Christ into the world. It's part of what disciples are called to do, enter into this struggle which brings peace, but sometimes it's very difficult. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross talks about the stages of grief and dying, and each stage can be described as a struggle with God. There's finally acceptance, and with the peace of acceptance, there's great joy, but that acceptance doesn't come without struggle, going through struggle, entertaining struggle. She suggests that when someone we love dies, or when a dream dies, or we lose a job, or we get that terrible diagnosis, it might look like this. There might be a stage of doubting, or denial. "Oh, this is not about me. You've gotten the records mixed up with somebody else. God, this can't be happening to me." And sometimes the next stage, though these are not always in order, there's anger. "Oh God, why me? How could this happen to me? Why are you doing this to me? Why are you allowing this to happen to me?" Anger. And then there's often a time of bargaining. "Oh God, if you just make this pass, I'll be a better man." That's the prayer I prayed every time I took a math test. So there's denial, there's anger, there's bargaining. There might be a time of depression. Oh God, my Lord, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus himself said that on the cross. The peace of acceptance, Kubler-Ross suggests, comes only after and through struggle. And I like to think of that struggle as a struggle with God, with the core of who we are, with our Creator. I've been struggling a lot lately with race relations. Now, I know you don't want to hear about that, and I don't really want to talk about it. I wish some fairy would come along with pixie dust and just make the world a place where freedom and equality and true justice exists for all people. So I don't want to talk about racism either. But I do want to be a part of the reform that will bring healing to our police and our schools and our government and especially our church. I want the kingdom of God to look on earth more like it probably looks in heaven, where everybody is celebrated and honored truly. I want to be part of that reformation. I do. And sometimes it's a struggle. You know, that word change or reform are words that shouldn't freak out Presbyterians, because it's part of our motto, the church reformed and always reforming, which is to say that the Spirit of God is always working on us, developing us, where we are becoming more and more like Jesus. The clay of our lives is not hardened yet. God, the great potter, is still forming us. Reform and change is built into life. It's part of who we are. And as disciples of Jesus, it's part of what we're called to do. Like you, or I suppose like you, I have been wondering how my worldview is not the only worldview. And I was reminded of that in a powerful way just the other day. I was talking with a black friend who I really like, and he said that when he was in high school many years ago, he dated a white girl. You can imagine that created tension in their families. One day, the white girl's father called the black boy's father and said, "I don't like your son dating my daughter." And the black father said, "I don't like your daughter dating my son." My friend learned later what both men were really afraid of. The white father was afraid of being embarrassed or shamed that his white daughter would date a black boy, which wasn't part of the norm at all in that town, in the South, in that day. The black boy's father, though, was afraid of a different thing. He was afraid his son would be murdered. You know, we just have a different life experience, and we look at life differently, and we have a different set of sensibilities. All of us does. Women slightly different than men, and one man from another man, and black and white, and every color, every origin from the South, from the North, from the Congo. We have different takes on the world. I've been wondering how my take might be different from others. And I've been trying to pay attention to that. I want to change the past, but I can't change the past. Neither can you. But we can be informed by the past, and we can lean more hopefully and more energetically and with less fear into the future. We can do that. And for me, I have to admit that's a bit of a struggle. It means I have to step out of my comfort zone. It means that I have to entertain bigger thoughts and pause and be a little more retrospective, perhaps, than usual. I have to remind myself that my way of thinking and my way of doing things, though I think my way of thinking is perfect and my way of doing things is just right, I have to reflect on the possibility that other people have other ways of thinking and doing things. And my ways might not be as good as theirs. In fact, my ways might be wrong. That takes some struggle to admit that. And those of you who know what a giant ego I have, you know that's hard for Matt Matthews. I do a lot of talking. Maybe I need to do more listening. We all wear blinders. I mean, that's not a sin. It's not a problem even. It's just a reality. I can talk about childbirth all day long and how it's hard for women. But I'm not a woman. I don't know what it's like. In fact, I don't know what it's like for anybody except for me in my own shoes. So we're wearing my blinders. I have to look around more to see what else is out there. What else is being said? Who's not here? What am I missing? What am I being blinded to? It's just a little extra work. And for a lazy man, I just sometimes I'm not up to it, up for it. I have to remember that not everyone benefits from the social order the way I do, the way I have as a white, middle-aged, good-looking Presbyterian man. Not everybody benefits from our structures and our systems the way I have. And I most assuredly have, and I'm grateful for all the blessings I've received, all the help I've had, and all the friends and the ways my journey has been made better by a system that supports me. The system doesn't support everybody in the same way. Not everybody was born into the family I was born into. Not everybody could accumulate wealth the way my family was able to. It's different for other people. And this is part of my struggle, part of my lamentation, right? It's part of my attempt to open my worldview. It's a struggle. For many of you, this is not a struggle at all. But for me, it is. I want to be a better Christian, see? I really do. You know, I'm a pastor, so I'm perfect already, right? Well, you know that's not true. And you know I struggle, like everyone else, to be a better disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to be a better neighbor. Not only that, I want to be a part of this reform of systems so that our church and our community is just stronger, because we aren't there yet. And we'll never be there. We're always on the way. But I'm trying to be open more widely to the journey we're on. To the degree that I fight against this change, to the degree that I fight against other people who might want to challenge me, to the degree that I fight against the work it takes to examine the world and to be constructively critical of it, to the degree that I fight against these things, I fight against God. God has an idea for the world, a place of true shalom for everybody. And when I do anything that doesn't help us get there, then I'm fighting against God. I have to say I'm fighting against myself too. It's a struggle. As I think of people struggling with God, I think of Jonah, right? He's in the Old Testament in a book called Jonah. God tells him to go to Nineveh to preach a word of judgment to the Ninevites so that they can change. But Jonah thinks that's not a very smart idea. And Jonah doesn't like the Ninevites. So Jonah doesn't go to Nineveh. Jonah goes to Tarshish. Now we know how that story turns out. Jonah ends up struggling with God in the belly of a giant fish for 3 days before Jonah, spit out onto the shore, finally goes and does what God had asked Jonah to do in the first place. Jacob, his struggle with God is a little different. Struggle nevertheless, but a little different. Jacob is struggling with God for a blessing. He wants something. He and God fight all night long. They wrestle all night long. And by morning, Jacob will still not let God go. He needs a blessing. He needs peace. He needs a benediction. He needs a word from God saying, all will go well with you. Now read the wider context of this story. Jacob is getting ready to go across the river Jabbok to meet his brother Esau, whom he cheated out of his birthright. Jacob's family, the women, the flocks have all gone on ahead. But Jacob is coming next. Jacob has gotten word that Esau is coming to meet him with something like 10,000 men or 400 men. I can't remember the number. Jacob knows that this struggle on this night and this dawning of this day might be his last struggle and his last day, because Esau has every right to be angry. Maybe that's why Jacob struggles so for a divine blessing before he fords that river and goes to meet his long-lost brother. God dislocates Jacob's hip that morning, and he blesses Jacob. And Jacob will remember and feel the pain of that grace, that blessing, for his whole life long. We might think that wrestling with God is not appropriate for Christians. God is our beloved Creator. God loves us. Why would we want to fight with God? Why would we want to wrestle with God? We might think that God is sovereign, so why would we want to do that? We know we're going to lose, so why would we ever want to do that to begin with? That position comes from our respect and from our love of God, our reverence for God, even our fear for God. But wrestling with God, I think, is okay. The story of Jacob gives us permission. It gives us permission. I suspect God, well, I know that God can handle it. And I suspect every time we wrestle with God, we'll become stronger. Our faith will become deeper, more solid, more real. Less stained glass windows and more real life if we're willing to wrestle with God. We don't need to avoid our doubts or our misgivings. We can argue with God like Job did. We can plead with God like Jesus did. Do you remember when he did that in the garden? When he sweat tears of blood? We will grow closer to and with God in the struggle, and we will become more human and more humane. Have you ever struggled with God? Dare you struggle with God? After our struggles with God, we might walk with a limp like Jacob did. But that limp won't remind us so much of the fact we've been wounded as it will the fact that we've been blessed. This is the God with whom we struggle. And blessing is the yield of that struggle. Peace, hope, wholeness, and shalom. To this God be all wonder and awe and gratitude and honor forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.